Let's open our Bible this morning to start with Job, book of Job, chapter 20. Job, chapter 20. And you'll be needing a Bible to turn to a few other places before it's over here this morning. Job 20. Now, most of you know the story of Job and know that he is at this point in the middle of his great trial and lost his children, lost all of his stuff. His wife tells him to curse God and die. And then he has some buddies that show up that start working him over pretty good. And in Job 20, one of these friends has some advice to give, some questions to ask. And what he says is nonetheless true as far as the general man's concerned. Let me begin with verse 1, just a few verses here. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, "Therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment, though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as the vision in the night." His statement had to do with the fact that the wicked will be judged, and then one day it'll be all over for the wicked. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Now, Father, we contemplate this man's words a little while here this morning. We're asking, Father, for you to give us some insight into the Bible and into our own lives and hearts, Lord. We are complex creatures, made the more complex by the fact that while we were at one point made in the image of God, we also have fallen spiritually, Lord, by disobedience in the garden. And so we have, those of us that are saved now, two natures working inside of us. And so, Father, we need insight into those natures. We pray that this morning might brighten the eyes of somebody here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, begin by saying here this morning that the Bible, of course, has become a rather strange and foreign book to even most people in America who a lot of times even have multiple Bibles in their home and they set them around on mantles and shelves and stuff as decoration, and theoretically they believe the Bible. There's a lot of reasons the Bible's become a strange and a foreign book to people, not the least of which is the fact that it's under attack 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by the world. The world works on it constantly. We read a couple of things in Sunday school this morning up here. Folks constantly hammering the evolution nail, you know, as if that were some sort of fact. Folks constantly hammering on the Bible. The Bible, they say that one of the propaganda, the lines of propaganda given is that the Bible is hard to understand. It's funny. I know there are parts of the Bible that are hard to understand. There are parts of the Bible that I don't I've never said that I understood completely. However, I've also learned that it's not the parts of the Bible that folks don't understand that get them. It's the parts that they understand perfectly well. And that's the truth, folks. So there's always that. There's the fact that it is constantly maligned as being inaccurate. It's been written by man, and there's mistakes and there's contradictions. And, you know, as often as I've read it through and as often as I've taught it, I haven't found any of those to be genuine. I haven't. And so there's lots of things that go on there. The fact is that folks' unfamiliarity with it doesn't help. I don't know how long it's been since you read the instructions on how to get a DVD or a VCR set up, but I guarantee you have to read it through about three times before you get it. And nobody ever complains about that. They just try to set it up without the instructions. But whatever. Well, that's the reason why, and on one hand. On the other hand, man has his own problems with the Bible in that, first of all, part of it is the nature of man. Look, man is self-righteous. Man is self-justifying. And the fact is, he has selective hearing, and when he hears something he doesn't want to hear, he goes, "Oh, I don't understand that. And that's how this goes. Now, there is one other thing, and that men tend to be kind of gray about stuff. And by gray, I mean when the Bible says on one extreme, this is wrong, period. And on the other end, now this is right, period. One end, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Men tend to do this. They tend to go, well, they tend to be gray. And what you learn when you read the Bible is that the Lord has very definitive opinions, and it's black or white, and there's not that much gray in between. I'm not saying there's no gray. I'm saying there's not much gray in between. So what, here's a perfect example. In Job 20, I'm reading along here the other day, and notice verse 4. Notice this guy's statement. And just read this statement. Verse 4, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. Wow. Now, what I'm getting at with that, folks, is that here he mentions the wicked, mentions the hypocrite. He's going to perish like his own dung. Now, can I just tell you something? Nobody in Joe Blow's life, Jerry Joe, the guy that lives in this neighborhood, Joe Blow, nobody in Joe Blow's life talks to Joe Blow like that. Now, he may have some coarse and vulgar friends at work, that sort of thing, but I'll guarantee you that nothing in Joe Blow's educational background, nobody in Joe's educational background, grade school, junior high school, college, ever talked to Joe Blow like that. Nobody in the media talks to Joe Blow like that. You're going to perish like your own dung. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody, none of his doctors talk like that. If he goes to his shrink's not going to talk like that. When he goes to church, almost none of Joe Blow's religious teachers talk to him like that. When you're talking about the average Joe, his average advisor, his friend, his boss, nobody talks to him like that. They don't speak to him on those terms, and they don't speak to him about that subject. Right? So when Joe Blow comes to the Bible, he hears something he's never heard anywhere else. He hears, the triumphing of the wicked is short, the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment, he's going to perish like his own dung. And Joe Blow goes, whoa. And he just kind of backs off. He goes, that's really out there. I've never heard anything like that before. And so he holds the Bible off at length, at arm's length. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Men are real standoffish from the Bible for a reason. Now, you know that my wife and I went to China, not this summer, but last summer. We had an experience in China. It was actually, it happened more than once. But obviously, I'm surrounded by a billion people whom I can't understand. And my sister can talk Chinese, and Mark and Lori can speak Chinese. And so all day long, I'm hearing blah, 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 blah. And sometimes they tell me what they're saying. But there are times that I'm sitting in the room, and Mark or Lori or Kim or whatever, and with a Chinese Christian or Chinese there, and they're, you know, going back and forth and stuff. And after a while, I figured out in time that sometimes they were talking about me. And it took me a long time to pick it up, but you see, sometimes I learned to hear my name mentioned. The only problem is, you know, the Chinese didn't say Kyle like we would say Kyle. I don't know even what they said, but it didn't sound like Kyle to me. But I learned, you know, that the accent and so on. I finally figured out, you know, 2 weeks later, oh, they're talking about me. I wonder what they're saying. See, why are you bringing that up, Brother Stevens? Well, I didn't know they were talking about me. And even though I was at a disadvantage because I don't speak Chinese at all, I don't even think I remember any of the words anymore. I don't speak Chinese at all. At least for the average Joe, the Bible's written in his language. So he has that advantage. But sometimes he doesn't know that it's talking about him. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Now, you're going to have to bear with me for just a second here, because I know this is kind of a rough verse. But verse 5, that the triumphing of the wicked is short. Now, you know what the average guy says? He says, the wicked, that's not me. The hypocrite in the verse, that's not me. I mean, I have my faults, but I'm not wicked. I'm not like Charles Manson. I'm not like Paul Pot or somebody like that. I mean, I'm not wicked, right? See, that's the problem. What Joe Blow doesn't understand sometimes is that the Bible is talking about him, but he takes it as a expletive or something. Here's the thing. What does the Bible say about the wicked? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised to learn that way early in the book of Genesis, the Lord says that he saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that the imaginations of his thoughts were only evil continually. He said that all of man was exceedingly wicked. One time, a guy named Joseph is being basically stalked by this woman. And she's proposing indecency to him. He says, how can I do this great wickedness? Why, folks, what the Bible calls wickedness, there's an awful lot of guys that partake of on a regular basis or want to. In, for instance, Deuteronomy chapter 9, wickedness is connected with stubbornness. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, God called Israel wicked because they didn't want to follow God's leadership, but they wanted to elect a king. Now, I don't know the last time you thought about what is wickedness? Yeah, Charles Manson. Blood sacrifice. Killing kitties. Is that what wickedness is? That's not what wickedness is in the Bible. In Psalm 52, it says that a man is wicked who trusts in his own riches. And Isaiah 47, it connects a man's wickedness to his not a certain kind of knowledge, a certain kind of wisdom. Jesus Christ said that he perceived their wickedness. And you know what they were doing? Oh, they were talking about genocide. No, they were trying to think up things to argue with Christ about. That was called wicked. In Luke chapter 11, he said that the most religious guys of his day inside were full of ravening and wickedness. Say, what are you getting at here, Brother Stevens? Well, I want to talk to you today about what the Bible says about Joe Blow. You see, Joe Blow's problem is he reads wicked, he reads hypocrite, and he reads a lot of other words in the Bible, actually. And this is just one little small segment here today. But he reads wicked. He reads sinner. He reads this, that, or the other, and he goes, that's not me. Oh, pal, it is you. And, you know, it's not an insult as such. I'll explain that in a second. Here, it's like this. Hope that Caleb doesn't mind me using him. But here a few weeks back, do you mind if I use you, Caleb? Oh, never mind. A few weeks back, we were praying for Caleb because found out that he has diabetes, right? I think he's the only one in here that has diabetes. Okay, so here's a statement. Diabetics have to watch their blood sugar. Now, I don't know if he's offended or not, but when I say diabetics have to watch their blood sugar, there's no intended insult. It's a statement of fact. Well, I just want you to see here in verse 5, the triumphing of the wicked is short. A lot of us are insulted, I suppose, to be called wicked. I know Joe Blow usually is, because he doesn't think he is. But the Bible says he is, at a different level than he thought he was. And it's not so much an insult as it is a statement of fact. Now let me tell you what the Bible says about Joe Blow. First of all, the average guy's triumphing is short. Now it's a statement of fact. There's no insult to it, really. The average guy's triumphing is short. Like I said, the Bible calls a guy wicked. He says, well, that's not me. But did you ever really stop to think about that, folks? I mean, the triumphing of the wicked is short. Look, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. including me, including everybody here. They've all gone back. They've all together become filthy. Everybody here is wicked in that respect. Everybody here has fallen short in that respect. And the triumphing of the wicked is short. You know, Alexander the Great? He died at 33 years old. Did you know that? 33. You know how old Adolf Hitler was when he died? 56 years old. You know how long he had really, genuinely been in power? Why, it must have been no more than 6 or 8 years. The triumphing of the wicked is short. My mother and father both died before they were 55 years old. And they weren't Adolf Hitler. But their triumphing was short. My father's triumphing in his grandchildren, it was short. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the Bible says that the triumph of the wicked is short, it's talking not just about really, really, really wicked people. It's talking about everybody. You know, when you're 18, guys, and for that matter, gals too, you tend to kind of feel indestructible. You know, your entire life's in front of you. You think that you have all this time and all, not only to make mistakes, but rectify them. And then you learn, you know, something a little bit different. For instance, we have Grandpa Favre nowadays here. You know, to hear them talk, you'd think this guy was 79 years old, playing football still. He's 40 years old, playing football still. Now, I don't know. Favre's spiritual predicament. I know he's 40, and I know he ain't going to play probably until he's 45, not getting hit the way he does. I believe, unless I'm mistaken, guys, that this year is his 16th year in the NFL. So for 16 years, and to hear him talk about it, he's been here forever. No, he's been here 16 years. Triumphing of the wicked is short. And when he retires, he's still going to be a young man. Then what's he going to do? See, folks, the point is that pro athletes, your whoever you look up to in the music industry or the movie industry or whatever, their triumphing is usually somewhere between 3 to 10 years. And then what? I mean, Kirby Puckett's come and gone, dead. And by his own testimony, in hell. Triumphing of the wicked is short. See, sometimes the triumphing of the wicked is cut short by years. Just the years rolling around, just folks get older. Sometimes the triumphing of the wicked is cut short by judgment. Sometimes the triumphing of the wicked is cut short by tragedy. But the triumphing of the wicked is short for unconverted, lost people. The time is short. The time that you're young and strong and, you know, everything goes right, it seems like, that time is short. It's very short. Now, you know the thing about it is when you put the righteous in here, if you were to say, talk about the triumphing of the righteous, and all, when I'm talking about saved people, the triumphing of the righteous hasn't even started. We haven't even really started. One day we get to go to heaven, and then our triumphing will never end. But the triumphing of the wicked is short. So, the first thing that Joe Blow needs to know is that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and he does qualify. And look, we could talk about 1,000 other terms. We could talk about hundreds of other terms. The wicked, the righteous, and so on. That Joe Blow, you know, reads through and goes, ah, that's not me. It is you. It is you. I want to show you something else, though. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And if you are easily offended, then I suppose you can get offended by this message being so quote-unquote negative because I keyed on the word wicked. But it was only to show you that, like I said, the Bible has a lot to say about, you know, the average guy in this neighborhood, and the average guy in this neighborhood thinks the Bible has virtually nothing for him. All right, look in Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4, and go down to verse 19. It says there that the way of the wicked is as darkness. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Now, you know what? We think about Charles Manson, and maybe some of you are too young to really care too much about him, but you know, for for my lifetime, Charles Manson has been the epitome of evil. I mean, really. If you've ever seen a guy, the guy's picture, and even recent pictures of the guy's eyes, there's something going on in that head of his, brother. All right? I mean, and that's what we think of. Well, and the way of the wicked is as darkness. Now, you know what the thing about it is that the average Joe sees? He says, yeah, Stalin. Yeah, that was, whoa, that was a dark way. Look, communism back in the 70s, in the 60s. Yeah, that was terrible. And Pol Pot and those sort of scenarios and all. But you know the thing about it is, when the Bible says that the way of the wicked is as darkness, it's not talking about some master's and doctoral degree in wretchedness and darkness. It's not talking about somebody accomplishing this great, you know, tremendous, you know, darkness. It's not talking about Hitler. It's not talking about Jack the Ripper. It's not talking about, you know, cannibalistic murders and all that sort of thing. It's talking more, you know, look in verse 18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. The just and the wicked. And we tend to think in extremes. The just have a halo, and the wicked have horns. And the fact of the matter is, it's not like that. These are categories. You know what the Bible says about the just? It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? If you're saved and have trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, you belong in verse 18, the just. The wicked is somebody that just hasn't taken that step. It's not necessarily intended as an insult, as derogatory. It's just a category. And the category is that the way of the wicked is as darkness. It's as darkness. Look, we know that Charles Manson has a dark portion of his life. We know about sodomites and cultists and Satanists and all those sort of things. But Joe Blow's way is dark too. Joe Blow's way is dark too. You and I were in darkness. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm telling you, folks, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. Talk to a lost guy. Just address a lost guy. Hey, you know for sure where you're going when you die? 100%. Do you know 100% how you got here? I'm not talking about the birds and the bees. I'm talking about the greater. How did you get here? What are you doing here? What are your purposes in life? How did you get here? What is life? How do you know right from wrong? How do you know who to marry? How do you know how to make a decision? How do you... Why do we have to die? Why do bad things happen to good people? How do you achieve success, and what is it? How do you achieve happiness and joy, and what is it? Now, you know what? Look in verse 19 again. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Man, men today act like they have all the answers. Well, I tell you what. Listen to the president's speeches. You think he has all the answers, man. They don't have the answers. I got news for you. Your professor at college doesn't have the answers. They don't even know the questions. In verse 19, they don't even know what caused them to fall on their face. They know not at what they stumble. I'll tell you what the average guy does. Here's how the average guy goes about his life. He takes a little bit that he gets off of news media. He garners some more stuff off the internet. He gets some more stuff from college, a class or two here, class, maybe a degree, maybe more, maybe less. He goes to church and he gets a little bit from religion. Then he reads some Dear Abby. Then he listens to a couple of those mystic guys on PBS. You know, about, you know, mind melding with the nature or something like that. Positive energy versus negative energy and some crystals and stuff, you know. And takes a little bit of evolution. Listens to what his friend thinks, a little bit of hearsay here or there, follows his heart, and that's how he winds up where he's going. Now, folks, in the end, he falls on his face and doesn't know what he stumbled on. You know why? Because the way of the wicked is as darkness. I was one of them. Most of you were grown and were one of them, where you came to a day where you realize in your life you had no direction, no rudder, no keel, no sail. You were drifting and didn't have a clue which way you were going. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. Go over to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. What the Bible says about Joe Blow. What the Bible says about the average guy. The average guy's triumph is short, like it or not. It doesn't have to be an insult. You're young for a few years, and then things start falling apart. You know, you get married when you're 20 or 25, and then if you're not careful, you're divorced when you're 30. And you got alimony the rest of your life, just about. That's just one little sliver of it. You understand? The average guy's way is darkness. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then there's something else. 10:20. 10:20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, folks, it doesn't say that the wicked is of little worth. It says the heart of the wicked is of little worth. You know what? The average guy's heart is of little worth. Now, don't get offended yet. It doesn't say that the wicked is of little worth. After all, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Everybody here has an eternal soul. And your eternal soul is worth more than anybody can garner of the entire world. So the wicked soul is of inestimable worth. You have a spirit inside you that's going to live somewhere forever. It's of inestimable worth. There is no price you can put on it, right? But it says that the heart of the wicked is of little worth. Now, if you look at the context here just real quick, if you go back to verse 18, a lot of the context has to do with talk. Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. A lot of it has to do with talk. See, what comes out your mouth is what was boiling around in your heart. And out of the heart come forth wickedness, murders, wretchedness, adulteries, etc., etc. Right? So I'll tell you one thing it means. One thing it means is that the heart of the wicked is little worth. And in context, it means that basically what the wicked say and advise and counsel is worth just about this much. But then there's another verse, and it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In all of us. Now, look, here's the deal. Joe Blow, the average guy, is told, he's instructed for his entire lifetime to follow his heart. I saw a sign just the other day. I think it was a church sign. Follow your heart. After all, that's what the Jedi Master told Luke Skywalker. Follow your feelings. All the heroes in the movie, on the movies, that's how they do it. They got the girl and the money and the car by following their heart. Folks, I don't know what you think of this world's educational system. Sometimes somebody has to go to college to get what they need. That's no problem. But for the most part, the way education is handled by the average people in America, that entire educational experience through the public schools, high school, college, et cetera, is nothing but a minefield. It's exposure to debauchery just about it everywhere you turn. And if I went to college. And some of you are in college. I know that. I'm not berating you. You better be aware that you're in a minefield, because they're basically using you as a guinea pig to experiment upon you. You know, you're asked to experiment with various forms of debauchery. You take art and you should know what I'm talking about. You take literature, you should know what I'm talking about. Fact of the matter is, if you go into the hard sciences like biology or whatever, you're still exposed continually to lies. Evolution. Joe Blow goes to his doctors, his shrinks, his psychiatrists, his psychologists, and so on. And you know, what is he exposed to? His reading material, what is he exposed to? He's told to follow his heart. Follow his feelings, fulfill your desires, follow your urges, follow your instincts, and so on. I just want you to know something, folks. That's the average guy's take on how he's going to get through life. He's going to do what feels right. Okay, you got to get this. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs, guide thine heart in the way. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Obadiah prophesied that the Moabites' problem was the pride of their heart, which had deceived them. You are not called to follow your heart. You're called to mold your heart to the Bible. And that is the only take that's acceptable. Look, the heart is the prize. Because the Lord wants your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. He wants you to confess Jesus Christ and believe in Him with all your heart. So, if the devil can get your heart, he can also get your soul. The heart is the prize. The heart is the prize. The average guy's heart, for that reason, is of little worth. It's not an insult. It's the way things are. It's all of us. There's a few other things here. Look in Proverbs chapter 11. We've only had 3 points so far. A lot of sub-points, but... Proverbs 11. Go down to verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. I got saved when I was 10 years old. I had these really bad sins. I'd lied to my mother. And I'd stolen pecans from the freezer and eaten them. That was the extent of my debauchery. And yet, the fact is that my expectation, the genuine expectation, biblical expectation that I had at 10 years old until I got saved, with those sins, was no better than Charlie Manson's expectations when he dies. See, the average Joe's expectation is wrath. Again, it's not intended to be an insult. The average Joe's expectation is wrath. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Right? See, the wicked hopes and desires and dreams that something else will be the reality of it when he dies. But the Bible tells us what the reality of it is when he dies. Now look, I'm talking about the wicked here today, and I know it's a negative subject, and I know that, well, we're not supposed to be negative. But you need to understand something. This is not hate speech. This is a diagnosis. Okay? You know, if you go to the doctor, there are some diagnoses that can come back that are absolutely tragic and horrible. Because he can come back with a diagnosis, if it's true, and it can be incurable. Okay? I want you to know that the Bible's diagnosis may come across hard, but I want you to understand that you have a ready and glad remedy. And if I wake you up in the night and say, fire, fire, only you might as well just stay there because there's no escape. And you're just going to burn to death. If you may be not appreciate being awakened out of a deep sleep, but hopefully you'll get over it fast. Now, if I say, fire, fire, by the way, this way, door's this way. And out you go, and you have to stand around in your underwear, but that's it. That's as bad as it gets. Right? All right, so what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, you know, for me to make plain to you that all of us are the wicked, and that there's hard things said about the wicked, when you understand that there's a ready and glad remedy, and it's Jesus Christ. Now, there's a couple other things I want to show you real quick. Look in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, go down to verse 6. Proverbs 15, 6. I'll make the last two pretty quick. Proverbs 15, 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. We understand what treasure is. But the revenues of the wicked is trouble. We know what revenues are. That's what the internal revenue takes from you. Basically, it takes from you your treasure. Right? You know, the average Joe's treasures, those things that he works for and labors for and, you know, gathers and embraces and stuffs in his four-car garages and builds new sheds for and, you know, I mean, all of his stuff, all of his money that he tucks away and all this, you know, his portfolios and all those things, you know what they are? They're trouble. It says the revenues of the wicked is trouble. And the reason why is because except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So a guy's lost. And he's a good enough guy. As far as guys go, he's a good enough guy. As far as gals go, she's a good enough gal. And they fall in love with, you know, some person. And, you know, they get married and they're going to live happily ever after. Only it doesn't work that way. Because when you're not saved, I'm talking about when you're not born again. I'm not saying you have to be a drug addict. I'm not saying that you have to have a meth habit. I'm not saying that you have to have an STD before things are bad. I'm saying that when the things of the in the house of the wicked, to start with his family, I can tell you something. There's going to be trouble in that family because he's not saved. Because he hasn't rectified his sin. And all the money that he labored to work for, the Lord's going to deal with him about that money. That money is going to wind up trouble. The love of money is the root of all evil. They that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. So what are you saying? The average Joe's treasures are trouble. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, and the pleasures of this life enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That guy's stuff, his treasures, become trouble. And when they become trouble, the guy turns 40, 45, 48 years old or so. And all of a sudden, you know, he's ready to get a new wife. He's ready to start over. He's ready to kick his kids out because, you know, they're living like the devil. And a lot of times he doesn't realize that a lot of the problem is that he's the wicked. Like I said, he doesn't have to be a meth addict. He doesn't have to be an adulterer. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, the average Joe's treasures are trouble. But the Bible says there that in verse 6, it says that in the house of the righteous is much treasure. I have one other thing to show you, only it's several verses. Look in the same passage, Proverbs 15:8, and let me expose you to four things here real quick, and then I'll be done, except for closing statements. Usually, we are in each one. So, Father, we pray that you'll minister the hearts here of some folks that need ministry, that are saved. But mainly, we pray that you'll deal with somebody here that maybe has never trusted Christ as their Savior. And we pray that you'll convict as only you can. Show them the answer in Jesus Christ as they've never seen Him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 251. We'll stand. If you've never trusted Christ your Savior, I hope you will. And maybe all here have. If you have, just don't forget what your name is. Don't forget how many categories you fit in the Word of God. 251. Take communion tonight. I'm going to start service at 6, a regular service, and then a little communion service to follow. So we hope you'll come. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for the fact that one day you showed us that our name is written throughout the Word of God. And hope that for everybody here that's still the case. We pray that you'd help us to be willing to make the same applications of the Bible to our own hearts and lives as you're willing to make. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning.